Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CDSL Q1 FY27 conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be constituted as forward-looking statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Chandra.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of HDFC Securities, we welcome you all to the CDSL Q1 FY27 earnings call. Today, we have with us the management team of CDSL, represented by Mr. Nehal Vora, MD and CEO, Mr. Girish Amesara, CFO, and other senior leaders from the management team. We will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter by Mr. Nehal Vora, and then we'll open up the floor for the question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Nehal, sir.
So first of all, thank you, Amit. A very, very good afternoon, and welcome, everyone. I hope each of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today to discuss CDSL's financial results for the first quarter of financial year 26-27. A detailed investor presentation has been uploaded on our website, and I hope you've had an opportunity to see it. I'm joined today by the leadership team of the CDSL Group. Let me begin with a brief overview of the quarter before the CFO takes us through the financial performance in greater detail. From an industry perspective, the activity levels in the securities market remain healthy. CDSL has opened about 58 lakh new Demat accounts during the quarter, taking the total Demat accounts on the CDSL platform to 18.59 crore as on 30th June 2026, and maintaining a market share of approximately 80%. The quarter also saw a few important developments for the organization. During the quarter, our governing board and our shareholders have approved the appointment of Shri Amit Mahajan as Executive Director of Vertical 1 and Srimati Nayana Ovalekar as Executive Director for Vertical 2. The shareholders' approval happened after SEBI had given these approvals to CDSL. These appointments are expected to further strengthen the leadership across our operations, technology, regulatory compliance, risk management, and investor-facing functions. We were also honored to receive several recognitions during the quarter, including being named as the most innovative fintech company in Asia-Pacific by Global Finance magazine, and also receiving the Innovation and Settlement Efficiency Award at the Global Custodian Leaders in Asia Custody Awards. These recognitions reflect the efforts of our employees, depository participants, and the wider ecosystem stakeholders. Coming to our financial performance, CDSL reported a standalone income of 327 crores and a standalone net profit of 144 crores for Q1 of FY26-27. On a consolidated basis, the total income stood at 341 crores and a net profit of 118 crores. CDSL has also made strategic investments in Sehmati Foundation and RBI-recognized self-regulatory organization for the account aggregator ecosystem. As the India securities market continues to deepen, our focus remains unchanged: strengthening core infrastructure, improving service quality for our participants and issuers, supporting investors through awareness and education initiatives, and building capabilities for the future. We remain grateful to our regulators, SEBI and Ministry of Finance, and all other regulators depository participants, issuers, investors, market intermediaries, shareholders, and employees for their continued support and trust. With that, I now hand it over to the CFO, Girish, to take us through the financial performance in greater detail. Thank you, and Jai Hind.
Thank you, Nehal. Good morning, everyone. I will start with standalone performance. For the June quarter 2026, the total income is achieved at rupees 326.51 crore as against 312.36 crore for the similar quarter during previous year. The standalone net profit for June 2026 quarter is achieved at 144 crore as against 152 crore for the similar quarter during the previous year. Please note that the other income in standalone financial results includes dividend received from subsidiary, which was at 39.50 crore in June 2026 quarter as compared to 62 crore in the similar quarter during the previous year. The said dividend is eliminated on consolidation as that is received from a subsidiary. Now on consolidated basis, the total income for June 2026 quarter is achieved at 340.50 crore as against 295.14 crore for the similar quarter in the previous year. The consolidated net profit for June 2026 quarter is achieved at 118 crore as against 102 crore for the similar quarter in the previous year. With this, I will request Sunil Alvarez to take us through CVL numbers. Thank you, and over to you, Sunil.
Good afternoon. During Q1 FY27, CVL reported a revenue from operations of 45 crore as compared to 36 crore during the same period last year, reflecting a growth of 8 crore or 22%. The growth was largely driven by improvement in our other businesses and other digital service offerings. Total income for the quarter stood at 50 crores, as against 43 crores in Q1 FY26, an increase of 7.6 crores or 18%. On the expenditure side, the total expenditure increased to 34.67 crores from 26.43 crores, that was up by 8.23 crores or 31%. As a result, the profit before tax stood at 15.68 crore compared to 16.61 crore, a decline of 4% or 62 lakhs. Profit after tax was at 12.11 crore as against 12.71 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, which was a decline of 59 lakhs or 5%. With this, I would open the floor for the question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Amit Chandra with HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the annual issuer charges growth. So obviously we have shown YOY growth of 12.3%. But seeing the IPOs that we have received, the IPOs that had come last year, the expectation of growth here was much better versus what we did last year in terms of YOY growth for the first quarter. So any reasons why this growth is lower? And also, if you can give the number of folios in this year versus last year, that would be helpful.
So, basically, Amit, it's a formula-driven charges or issuer charges. It's based on the folios which are actually there, and it is what it is in terms of what the numbers are in terms of what the folios have been. I'll ask CFO Girish to give us the numbers on the folios.
So Amit, the folio is 38.73 crore.
Okay. And sir, secondly on the KYC income. So, we had the pricing reset in this quarter. So based on the, you know, basic, the reset maths, the impact would have been in the range of 20%, only on pricing. But the impact here is lower than that. So is it offset by volumes or, you know, there is some other things to read into it in terms of the pricing impact that you had in the KYC?
I'll ask Sunil to answer this.
Yes. So Amit, there were two things which really offset that. One was the higher fetch volumes, and so the actual impact came was lower to about 9%. And we also, when the charges were reduced by SEBI, they had allowed us to charge on the search API, which again gave us some revenue, which reduced the overall effect. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay. And so the last question from my side. In terms of technology expenses, obviously we have seen, you know, the technology expenses going up every quarter. But in this quarter, we have seen some kind of stability there. So is it fair to assume that, you know, the most of the heavy lifting in terms of the technology spend is behind, and from here we can see a steady state increase in technology expenses?
So firstly, we don't give future statements which look into the future, forward-looking statements. But as I had said in various investor calls, we are an infrastructure company. So, you know, technology and human resource are the two key components, which is, in a way, the raw material, work in progress and finished good. Important thing is to ensure the value proposition continues to remain. And rather than seeing it as a quarter-on-quarter, you have to see in terms of the stakeholder interest growing, number of accounts growing, and that value proposition should remain intact. And whatever it takes to ensure that that value proposition would continue is really our effort and our intent in taking this forward. So it will be difficult to comment whether the technology spend will grow or not grow in future. One is we don't give forward-looking statements. But overall, in the overall scheme of things, it is what is required to be done to ensure that the infrastructure continues to remain contextual and value proposition driven. You have to do whatever it takes for that.
So thanks for that, but I just wanted to understand that whatever we, you know, had in terms of our plan for technology spend, is it already done or, you know, I'm not asking for a future guidance, but as of now, is like most of the advancements have been done in the, as per the regulatory requirement?
So see, the regulatory requirements keep on changing as per the needs of the market and what needs is there. Also, technology is also changing rapidly. The intent is that we have to be nimble as well as very, very active in ensuring that the best-in-class technology continues to remain active on the CDSL platform. And that's been our intent. So it's difficult to answer this question, whether it has reached or not reached, because the environment itself is changing so much. So based on that, we'll have to wait and observe how that will impact in the quarters to come.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Hiral Pare with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, my first question is that competition has mentioned that they have seen more traction with fintech brokers after they have made some tech changes, which have sort of reduced onboarding friction. Also, I was looking at some data. So while we have maintained our market share in terms of total Demat accounts, however, for our incremental Demat market share, we've lost about 420 basis points since close of March. So we're standing at 81.4% in June 26. So how are we viewing this in the light of, you know, how fintechs are interacting with depositories? That's my first question. For my second question, if you could just help us understand the movement in other income in this quarter. If possible, could you just provide a broad split across e-CAS, e-voting, income from unlisted companies and pledge income, and also any one-off? Also, how much of this was driven by MTM gains?
Okay. So on your first question, Hiral, I think, again, I'll repeat what I said in the first question, the reply to the first question. We are an infrastructure company, and our intent, at least at CDSL, is not a quarter-on-quarter growth. It is a long-term sustainable growth which creates value proposition for the market. Growth in DMAT accounts is a function of various functions on how the market perceives what is the total growth. The important thing is that the intermediaries and the investors should continue to believe and feel the value proposition of the CDSL platform. So I would see this as more of continuous work in progress, quarter on quarter, that how do you make our systems better in terms of value proposition. For me, the numbers is one thing which we observe, but it's more important is how are we able to ensure that the people who are accessing the CDSL platform continues to feel the value proposition as and when they do it. And for the second question, I'll ask Girish to answer.
So breakup of other income consists of consolidated account statement related fee, which is around 14.80 crore, e-voting income of 6.32 crore, investment mark to market related gain and other income accrued on investment is 43.8 crore. We have other operating revenue of 6 crore, which is largely includes user facility accounts maintenance charges, document storage charges, foreign investment limit monitoring charges, and then we have last other income 3.94 crore. This totals 75 crore on a consolidated basis.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Just one more question. For employee costs, they were up around 30% QOQ. So in case this consists of some bonus provisions, if you could just give us a broad split between the underlying increase and the bonus increase.
So we don't give these numbers out in the public domain, but typically it's really the year-end appraisal process which constitutes this number.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Swarnab Mukherjee with 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So first, just wanted to understand the KYC revenue in a little bit more detail. So as you mentioned that there was a dispensation by SEBI, if you could explain what exactly this was and till what time was this allowed, so that we can get a sense what, normalized run rate. So if you could give us that, till what time you got the extra revenue and what is the amount of that. And in terms of, you mentioned higher volume, so was this more on the Fed side? And if you could maybe in a way give us some color on the blended realization on new and fetch, maybe towards the end of the quarter, that would be very helpful. So that's on the KYC side, sir. Secondly, on our treasury book, if you could share what proportion of the asset is in equity or equity-oriented mutual fund. And lastly, some data keeping questions. So in the annual issue charges, if you could give us the amount of unlisted related revenue and if you could break it up between processing and recurring fee, and also the pledge income if you could provide, sir. Thanks.
So we don't give some part of the information data. The first question I'll ask Sunil to answer, and the second and third the CFO Girish to answer.
So the question what you asked was what was SEBI's directive. So the charges was earlier 35 rupees on fetch, it was reduced to 28 rupees. There was a dip of 20%. So far as the charges on creation was concerned, it was around 20 rupees. It was reduced to 5 rupees, and that was down by about 75%. But overall, during the quarter, the volumes were good, and I mean that's how we more or less we could maintain our performance as compared to Q1 of last year. In terms of the other charges, what SEBI allowed us to charge was on a search API, so that every time somebody searches a particular PAN, there is a small charge of 0.25 levied on it. So that resulted in some income. And overall, the numbers are what we've already indicated to you. I hope that answers the question.
Sir, just a follow-up on this. Sir, just like-
Just one minute. Can you just finish all the questions? Otherwise, it will not be through.
Sure, sir. Please, go ahead. Thank you.
So we do not make any direct investment in the equity schemes of mutual fund. We generally invest in debt schemes. We have a small portion of ETF investment, which ranges from 5% to 7% of our investable portfolio.
Okay, and pledge?
Pledge income in this quarter, we have achieved at margin pledge of 6.19 crore. With respect to your question on unlisted revenue, we have achieved unlisted revenue of 0.30 crore, and application processing fees of 2.32 crore in this quarter. So majority income, if you look at ACF, annual custody fees, is all listed companies.
Right, sir. That's very helpful. Just on the KYC team, sir, the follow-up, the third API-led revenue, this will continue henceforth, and can you share maybe a proportion or a quantum of that?
No, it will continue, but right now I will not be able to give you the overall details. It's included in the overall income of KYC.
Okay, and just sir, compared, like, the rack rate has gone down in KYC, as we know, the actual eventual chargeable, what you are charging, has it gone down at by a similar quantum?
Obviously, we'll have to follow SEBI's directive, right?
And that has to be followed by all the KRAs. It's not only us, it's an industry-wide.
It's an industry-wide circular, so everybody is reduced their charges accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, I meant that, sir, eventually what you were realizing, say, in terms of, say, if you give some volume discount or anything to any customer, then even the realizable rate, has it also gone down at same level?
We actually don't discuss this in our investor call.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for FY27.
The next question comes from the line of Sanket Goda with Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is on annual issue charges again. Because the way you said the 38.73 crores account, actually the folio count seems to be growing at 17% year on year compared to the last year. But the overall growth is just 12%. So the relatively lower growth is largely because of unlisted piece, sir. That's a fair way to understand.
If you compare on quarter on quarter basis, yes.
Understood. And in unlisted, that opportunity what we had in last year maybe MCA changing some threshold levels. The numbers what you mentioned in the current call are likely to remain going ahead. Maybe not the exact number, but that's the new normal we need to. Is it fair to understand, sir?
See, again, it's difficult to give a forward-looking statement, but it is all driven by overall regulatory intent of ensuring that more and more companies come into the fold of depositories. So we'll see how and in which manner, in a phase-wise manner, this will increase. So we're not able to give any specifics, but their overall regulatory intent is there.
And sir, on CVL business, you said search API is search API for PAN card is 25 paisa. If I understood right, that's the charge you own, right?
Yes.
Understood. Okay, got it, sir. And last two questions. One, if you can give your impairment cost number, which you typically give every quarter, and second, again on CVL, you in the initial remarks you said that though the charges were lower, you benefited from other digital services. which you intend to say that you got any SEBI project which helped you to neutralize that impact, or if you can give that breakup, if you can give a color of that 45 crores broken down into pure KYC income and maybe some other source of revenue, what you typically get.
So the impairment cost debtor provision is 2.22 crore in this quarter. And what Sunil had explained for CVL related income is purely KYC related income, which we explain every quarter to you.
I understood, sir. In initial comments, Sunil sir said that there were other digital services.
It is part of the online data charges that we normally provide as disclosure.
Understood, sir. That's it for my share. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Madhukar with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So first, I joined a little late. What is the folio count for last year? I'm not sure whether you've given that number or not. Second, we were also in the process of being able to issue the ISINs. I wanted to just get an update on that. Have we got that capability right now? And are we doing that for unlisted companies? And third, sir, on employee expenses, that have gone up materially both on a year-over-year and on a quarter-over-quarter basis also. Should we expect this number to be sort of our run rate for the rest of the year? Thanks.
Okay. I'll answer your third question first. See, the year-on-year, as it is, the number of employees have grown. And that is a function of as the complexity and the scale of operations grow and whatever is required, we are very mindful of that. The answer to quarter and quarter, because this is the end of the year appraisal, we follow a financial year appraisal cycle. So the appraisal had got done in this quarter, which has just ended, and all the variable pay, etc., is paid in this quarter. So you can check out the trends of the previous year's quarters to understand how the employee cost trend works. On the first two, I'll ask the CFO Girish to answer.
So the folio that we achieved this year is 38.73 crore.
Okay.
And in terms of the ISIN, it's again, we are in active engagement. It's yet not gone live. It needs to go through its processes. So really, as and when it goes live, we will definitely be making the necessary announcements.
Got it, sir. Understood. And last year, the number was 33.2 crores for the folio count, right? 33. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Again, on this KYC, on the search API, if you can give more color on what particular, as you mentioned, some particular plans, not across the board. If you can give some more color on how much volume it can generate every quarter, what would be the run rate, and how much benefit we have kind of, tentative is also fine, we have kind of received, or we may continue to receive because of this, even out the impact of the hacking which has happened, that will be very helpful.
So we don't give any future and forward-looking statements. I'll ask Sunil to supplement it, but that's number one. Number two is a measure which has just kicked in from this quarter. You may like to observe it over quarter on quarter how the volumes go forward. But we generally, we do not give any future of forward-looking statements. Sunil, if you want to add.
So I was asking more so from the current volume, how much on the volume we have been able to kind of generate this income that we have within that 45 crores.
It will be very difficult to actually pinpoint on that because many of the intermediaries, after this rate was levied on them, they started fine-tuning their system and we've seen a considerable drop over a period of the second and third month. So we are waiting for it to stabilize, then we really actually have a fair idea because earlier people were doing searches for PAN, one PAN maybe 20-30 times a day. So now that will come down significantly. That is our reading into it. So we'll have to wait for one more quarter to really see where it actually stabilizes.
Okay, that is helpful. Also, in terms of understanding, any other further measures we can take to kind of reduce the impact for the on the rack rate, like the added charge and all, any other charge. Plus unified KYC also, if you can touch upon, that is again we talked about.
So far as unified KYC is concerned, we are in the process of getting integrated with CEPSAI and we are in the process of testing their systems and all that will happen, but I cannot give you an exact date by when it will happen. It all depends when their systems are available, etc. to us and when we actually go live. So these discussions are again happening between the regulators and CEPSAI. So once we get a very clear picture of what process should we actually follow, though it is more or less defined, but once we actually test the system and see whether those, what has been decided, whether we are following the same process, then we'll be able to actually tell you with more clarity.
Okay, but does this rack rate will sustain or further go down once the invite KYC is...
Forward-looking question which is very difficult to answer because this is just the first quarter. I've already told you, we'll have to wait for another quarter to see what really happens.
Okay, and any other measures to kind of, make up the loss in the rack rate, which we can do apart from the search API?
So again, I think you need to observe how the general trend is. It's a market volume driven and a rate driven. So it's kind of a mixture of both. So as the overall activity increases, decreases, that's how the functioning works. Again, I'm trying to, the overall intent is we are a market infrastructure company. It's overall creating a value proposition through CDSL and its subsidiaries and giving the customer continuous value proposition because this is a way of life in terms of going forward. So that has been our main focus on how we function.
Okay. Got it. Thank you and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Swarnab Mukherjee with 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Just a couple of things I wanted to understand. So you mentioned that in unlisted revenue, the issuer revenue is 0.3 crore. Did I get it right?
Hello. Yes.
Last quarter it was 3.5 crore. So and for the processing fee, last quarter was 3 crore, which is around 2.3 crore. So,
yes.
Sir, just wanted to understand that if the the universe of this unlisted has changed because of the regulation. I mean, why are we seeing an impact on the issuer revenue? I had kind of thought that, maybe the application processing side might see some impact. If you could just help me understand what is playing out here, that would be very
normally. So normally what happens is that we get a question in this call that what is the unlisted revenue on from the companies, unlisted companies admitted during the quarter at given that figure. Okay. Normally we do not give breakup of listed and unlisted annual custody fees because we do not track that way.
Okay. This is very clear, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain with Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sorry if I'm asking this question again, if it has been repeated, I've joined a bit late. Just on this computer and technology related expenses, after some time, after a few quarters, we've seen stability in that number. So is it fair to think that we are closer to now picking out at our investments in this piece, and from here on it will be more of an inflationary spend, and that would allow us to see operating leverage benefits coming out?
So I think being as a part of the overall ecosystem, we are part of Motilal Oswal, technology is something which continues to evolve. And it's very difficult to predict whether we've reached the top end of the technology spend or not. The important thing is about the intent of ensuring the value proposition to all the stakeholders and ensuring that the newer products and platforms which are being introduced is being incorporated into the CDSL ecosystem. So one is we don't give any future and forward-looking statements. But it is a function of the overall products which are going to be introduced in future, and the newer products on the technology side which are getting introduced, how much of that would be could be implemented as CDSL. That itself will kind of lead to whether it is whether at basically what level the technology expenses will continue in the future quarters.
Okay. And why is the tax rate so high in this quarter?
Another CFO to answer.
Tax rate, we are having a tax rate of 25.17%. So we are within that.
Okay. And second one and last one, could you give us a breakup of your cash investments as to how much is in equity, how much is in debt instruments in some form? Largely that's coming in from the fact that your other income has seen a sharp jump. So just wanted to understand the color of the investment book and the reason for the sharp jump in the other income.
See, we have an internal investment policy. We follow that policy, and normally we don't discuss the breakup of various instruments in which we have made investments. So what I can tell you is that we do not make investment in equity schemes of mutual funds. All available, whatever is available in the market, we make investment as per our investment policy.
So what drove this, at least you can explain what drove this jump in
mark-to-market gain during the quarter.
Got that. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nehal Vora for the closing comments.
Now, I would sincerely like to thank all of you for your participation. Continue to remain safe and healthy. Thank you. And Jai Hind.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.